Well, hello, Region family. Good evening. My name is Ryan Nixon, and I have new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from pride, lust, worshiping what other people think of me, and this past week, overindulging in food as I was a little overwhelmed. Hey, friends. And then also, if you are here for Region for Students, y'all are meeting in the East Tower, and so if anyone's here for Region for Students, if you wouldn't mind kind of exiting those doors, you're in the wrong place. And head over to the East Tower at the Welcome Center. There's some folks over there that will kind of show you where our East Tower is. But so since I'm the new kind of guy to this Region family, I want to give y'all a chance to get to know me a little bit. All right. And so I was born and raised in Austin, Texas, all right, home of the University of Texas, all right, those Longhorns. And so I grew up a Longhorn fan. My parents went to Texas, and I absolutely loved it. Like, we had season tickets, went to all the games, you know, went to the Irwin Center and like for the basketball season, and then Royal Memorial Stadium for the football games, and just had a blast and loved it. And as you know, like, the butt of every Longhorn joke is what? The Aggies. There you go, that's right. And so, you know, time goes on, and I get to my senior year in high school, and it's time to kind of start applying for colleges, figure out where I'm going to go next. And so applied to a handful of schools in Texas and got into a few, got into the University of Texas, got accepted at A&M, some other places, trying to figure out, okay, where am I going to go next? And my grandfather called and said, hey, I'd love for you to come check out A&M. He had some colleagues that went to school there, and he's like, and also I got tickets for the game. And I was like, great, I'd love to go. So I go to Aggieland, and I go visit, and I was like, oh, this is fun, but it was kind of a red carpet treatment. I was like, okay, I know this isn't normal, but had a blast. And then I went out for a second time that fall, and the unbelievable thing happened. Like, I fell in love with that school. I loved the school spirit, the team camaraderie, like the spirit of Aggieland, like all the traditions, and I was like, I'm going to be an Aggie. All right, and so I went from, 18 years being a Longhorn to being like, okay, I'm going to be an Aggie. And so I drank the Kool-Aid. I drank that Aggie Kool-Aid. And as I was thinking about it, I was like, I just don't want to drink this Aggie Kool-Aid. I'm going to double fist it. All right, and so I decided to join the Corps of Cadets as well. And so I am fighting Texas Aggie class of 2002, a whoop of the Corps of Cadets, and just jumped in. And so as you go to A&M, like, there's so many traditions and everything. And so as the Corps of Cadets, you're the keepers of the spirit. And kind of I'm learning about the Aggie traditions and things that go on. And so we have, we don't have cheerleaders. We have male yell leaders, right? And everything has a story of where it came from. And so, and then also with those yell leaders, all right, Aggies need help learning how to yell. All right, and so we had yell practice. And then we also needed help on when it was going to be. So we had midnight yell on Friday nights. All right, and so we would come together and we would kind of do our cheers. And so there'd be things like, farmers fight! And then, you know, everyone's cheering for that. And then a great thing is if you were seeing a coach that was going to be kind of frustrated, you'd want to tell him to sit down. And so we had a cheer that you'd kind of tell him to sit down, bus driver, because back in the day, the coach would drive the bus. And one of my favorites was a horse laugh. And so if you didn't like it, I heard that out there when I said Longhorns. Gosh, and you would you'd give them a horse laugh, whatever that is. But there was so much fun in the traditions that you're learning. And then we had the Fightin' Texas Aggie Band. And then we were part of the 12th man. And so the 12th man was this tradition that once they didn't have enough players, so one guy came out of the stadium. And so now all the Aggies, you stand the whole time just in case they need you to come on the field. And so you never sit during a football game. And so as I was just thinking about that, one of the things people talked about with like Aggieland and everything, they said, all right, this is like a cult. It really looks like a cult. And as you're thinking about it, from the outside looking in, like you didn't understand it. And from the inside looking out, you couldn't explain it. And as I think about my time at A&M, I never thought, oh, I need to go do those things to help me become an Aggie. No, it was just like, I was an Aggie, so these are the things that you go do. And as I went to do them more and more, like I began to enjoy my time at A&M. Like there was just more, you know, joy, laughter, friendship, and just memories that were made. And I think about like the Christian life. And there's a lot of parallels there because in the Christian life, there's things that we're called to do as Christians But doing those things don't make you a Christian. Something has already been done for you. But if you do the things, you begin to enjoy the Christian life more and more. There's more peace and happiness and joy and flourishing. And so what I want to talk to you tonight as we finish out our series with New Year, New Me is this idea of walking by the Spirit. What does it look like for us to walk by the Spirit? Because for those who believe, like first, you have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you are saved. And when that happens, like you're plucked out of the kingdom of darkness, all right, think Longhorns, and then you are placed in the kingdom of his marvelous light, which is Aggie land, all right? So that's all my Aggie kind of analogies there. But when that happens, like there are so many things in that moment that are yours forever that you don't have to do anything for. And so before we talk about what it looks like to walk by the Spirit, like I want to remind you of what has already happened to those who are in Christ Jesus. Like for those who are in Christ Jesus, you have a new identity. You are no longer a slave. You are son and daughters of the King. Like you have a new position. You're justified. And you have a new peace. Because you're justified, you have peace with God. Not only that, you have a new purpose. Your purpose is to love God and love others. You have a new plan for your life. That plan is to put to death the deeds of the flesh and to put on the new self. There's a beautiful new promise that he who began a good work in you will continue to carry out until Christ Jesus returns. And not only do you have that new promise, but you have a new power. Like he who lives within you, the Holy Spirit, is greater than he who is in the world. And you also have a new hope. Like we have a sure and steadfast anchor for our souls, a hope that is secure in the presence of God. And guys, I want y'all to know, Region family, that there is nothing that you can do that would cause you to lose those things for those who are in Christ Jesus. And there's nothing that you need to do to help you to gain those. Those are already yours. But now, what does it look like for us to experience this new life in Christ, this new me as believers? And it is by walking by the Spirit. And that takes me to Galatians 5, 16 and 17. It says, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. And so how do we do that? Like the magic bullet is walk by the Spirit. But now we have to ask the question, like, how do I walk by the Spirit so I can walk well with Jesus and not gratify the desires of my flesh? And so here are some things. Here are the things that you need to do, and there are things that have to happen that you have to do. No one else can do them for you. But when you do those things, you get to experience this newness of life in a richer way. And so like daily, like we have to trust in the gospel. Daily, we have to depend on the Spirit. Daily, we have to surround ourselves with God's people and cling to the truth of God that we find in his word. And daily, we have to practice these things, right? Like we need to realize we need God's grace. We need to realize that we need to receive God's grace, that we need to respond to that grace, and we need to regenerate because of God's grace. And so I want to break those down for you. The first one is just realize we need God's grace. Like we need to admit that we're powerless to our addictions, to the hurt that's happened to us, to our own sinful patterns, and that in our own power, our lives are unmanageable. We also, on a daily basis, need to believe that God is the one who has the power to fully transform our lives. And in order to do that, a first step, and then a continual step, is to trust in the gospel, to trust in God that by grace, through faith, we can be saved and we can be transformed. And then from there, we need to receive God's grace on a regular basis. And in the ways that we do that is daily making a searching and fearless inventory of our own lives and thinking through, Lord, where is it that I've sinned against you? And not only that, we need to confess those sins to God, admit them to ourselves, and then confess them to other believers so that they can pray for us. We need to repent by turning away from the patterns that are in our own lives and then begin walking faithfully with Jesus. Take off the old self and put on the new self. And then we need to respond to that grace. Like after we've done that, we have to respond as it, you know, relates to other people. First, we relate to God and we humbly ask God's Spirit to change our hearts and our minds in order that we can follow Christ more fully. And then after we've done that, like we need to think through, Lord, who do I need to forgive? Who are people that have hurt me that I need to forgive? And then at the same time, who do I need to go ask forgiveness for because of the ways that I've hurt them? And not only do I need to go ask forgiveness for them, who do I need to go and make amends with? As far as it depends on me, how can I be at peace with all men and women for the things that I've hurt them by? And then from there, we take one more step forward and we begin to regenerate not only our own lives, but also others' lives because of God's grace. We continue to examine our lives on a daily basis in the way that we've sinned, we confess, we repent, we follow hard after Jesus. We continue to deepen our relationship with Christ through spending time in his word and depending upon the Spirit and just aligning our hearts to him. And then because we've been reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, like we need to be about the ministry of reconciliation. We need to help other people find their new life in Christ as well. And that we would go to our friends, to our coworkers, to our neighbors, to our family members, and that we would beg and plead with them to be reconciled with God. Like those are the things, as we're thinking about, what do I need to do to continue to help me to experience this new life in Christ? Like those are the things that we need to do. And Regen family, like as I think about those things that I just listed, those are the things that you're already doing. Like I pulled this from our groundwork book and like these are the 12 steps. This year-long journey of being discipled and looking understanding what it looks like to follow hard after Christ, like those are the things that we need to practically do, not only once a year, but then on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, to walk by the Spirit. And the beautiful thing about the gospel is that even when we're not walking by the Spirit and we have a moment of giving into the flesh, the gospel is still there to remind us of the grace that we have in Christ and how we're able to experience healing and freedom even when we fall short again. And so I want y'all to know that this is not, like Regen is not the only way that we're to experience this new life in Christ. Regen is a way, it is a step-by-step way for us to begin to understand what it looks like to walk with Jesus, what it looks like to walk by the Spirit. And I just want you to know, if you are commencing here this next month, like way to go. Like we're so proud of you and just the steps that you've taken to understand what it looks like to walk with Jesus, but this is a lifelong journey. And if you're here for the first time and you're wondering like, okay, what am I to do to experience healing and hope? It's right here. It's walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of your flesh. So guys, it's such a joy to partner with y'all in this ministry. And I want you to know, like I have to do this daily. I had to this past week ask my wife for forgiveness for the way that I've wounded her. I had to confess to the Lord, myself, and to her, and ask her forgiveness. And that's a lifelong journey of us continuing to fall short of what Christ wants for us. And so, friends, I'm so excited that pretty much every week we come here, we not only get to hear the truth of God, but we also get to hear stories of transformation. And so I want to welcome to the stage my friend Ryan, as he gets to share how he has experienced new life in Christ as he's walked by the Spirit. So please welcome Ryan to the stage.